Well, good morning. How many here were here last week? Remember I told you about this crazy things you do when you're in love and what some of you need to do to rekindle some love, and I talked about a t-shirt that we had made. My daughter still had it because she slept in it for years, which it looks like. This is 41 years old. I told you. There you go, Brian. I was 20, she was 19. How crazy is that? Anyway, that was free. That was free today. If you weren't here last week, you missed something. Anyway, let me ask you a question. What do you think your life's going to look like in 5 years from today? When's the last time you even thought about that? You're like, gee whiz, I'm worried about tomorrow. But seriously, what do you think your life is going to look like 5 years from now? Ask yourself that question. And I'm going to give you a little prompting because I'm going to kind of point out four different categories for us to look at today and for you to percolate on a little bit. But we're going to start with spiritually. If you were to look at your life spiritually, and what are you going to look like spiritually in 5 years, what's that going to look like? What's your life going to look like relationally in 5 years? Your friends, your marriage, the people closest around you, your family. What will your life look like financially in 5 years? What's your life going to look like physically in 5 years? I mean, let's talk about those briefly, and then we're going to move forward. But if you think about spiritually, where's your life going to be like in 5 years? That's a great question, right? Because what you have to start with is based on the current trajectory of my life, what I'm doing for myself spiritually today, I'm headed somewhere. So based on my current situation, my current trajectory, what I'm doing for my spiritual life, what is it going to look like? For some of you, you're like, man, I'm on a great path. Like spiritually, I'm doing things daily. I'm reading God's word daily. I'm worshiping more regularly. I mean, man, I'm more sensitive to what God is doing. I'm hiding more of his word in my heart. Like, wow, I really am on a good trajectory. So if I keep this up in 5 years, like I might be in a place spiritually that I've never been before. Others of you say, "Woo, man, based on what I'm currently doing, like I'm not liking where I might be in 5 years because I've kind of slipped a little. I mean, I used to be more red hot and now I'm a little more lukewarm. I mean, church used to be more of a priority and quite honestly, it gets tougher and tougher. You know, just other things have kind of crowded in and so I'm not as regular as I am and I don't pray as often as I used to and I haven't read God's word regularly for quite a while and so based on what I'm currently doing, 5 years, I'm probably going to be further away from God. How about relationally? If you look at the friendships around you, if you look at your family, if you look at your husband, your wife, based on what you're currently doing, your trajectory right now, where are you going to be relationally in 5 years? Are your friendships growing or are your friendships kind of waning? Your marriage, listen, you're never stuck in neutral. You're either getting closer to your spouse based on what you're currently doing or you're getting further apart. What trajectory are you currently on? What's it going to look like for you in 5 years? How about financially? You're like, I don't even want to talk about it. The economy, yeah, I got that. But are you doing things God's way? Are you putting him first? Do you have a plan? Do you have a written budget? Do you go by that? Do you have margin built in? If you are and you're on that trajectory, you're like, "Ooh, yeah, I think things are going to be way better because of what I'm currently doing." Or based on what I'm currently doing, quite honestly, I'll probably still be living paycheck to paycheck. We'll probably have more debt than we currently do because that's the trajectory I'm on. And then what about physically? Based on the trajectory right now, what are you going to be physically in 5 years? Now, granted, we don't have a crystal ball. There's things that are outside of our control that may come into your life, into my life. But based on what you're currently doing, based on your current trajectory, where are you going to be physically in 5 years? Some of you be like, "Wow, you know what? I'm in a great spot because I'm working out more. I'm eating better. I'm taking better care of my body. I'm doing the right things. I mean, whoo, I'm going to be in a better place. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more fit." Some of you, quite honestly, you're like, "Gee whiz, why would you ask that on Super Bowl Sunday? Like, you know, we got this plan, right?" Some of you are like, "You've been so sedentary, and 5 years from now, you might be in a wheelchair." I mean, seriously, right? You're not taking care of yourself. And if you keep that up in 5 years, you're going somewhere, right? Where are you going to be in 5 years? Where are you going to be in 5 years? Look at those areas of your life. Listen. The great news is, even if you're 5 years older, which you will be in 5 years if you're still around, you can be physically stronger even though you're getting older. You know that's possible, right? Based on what you're doing. Your relationship with your husband, with your wife can be better than it's ever been based on what you're currently doing and what you decide to do over the next 5 years. It can go the other way as well, depending on what you and I do with the next 5 years. You know, here's what's interesting. I can tell you, I don't have a crystal ball. None of us know what could happen. But with pretty high accuracy, I can tell you where your life's going to be in 5 years. If you're taking notes, take out your note sheets and fill this in. Here's why I can tell you with a high degree of accuracy and predict where your life is going to be spiritually, where it's going to be relationally, where it's going to be physically, financially in the next 5 years. Here's why I can say that, because the habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. The habits that you and I have today will shape who you become tomorrow. The habits that you and I have today that we develop over the next 5 years is taking you somewhere, and I can predict with a high degree of accuracy where your life is going to be in those areas. And it's the same for me, because our habits are taking us there. You realize, right? Good intentions are not what gets you where you're going. If that was the case, we'd all look great. We'd be in great physical shape because I intend to go to the gym, right? I intended to eat well. I intended to have a great marriage. I intended to be in a good spot financially. I intended to be closer to God than ever, but that's not how it works. The habits that you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. You ever heard people, this parents do this a lot, when you have a brand new baby, they want to try to figure out, do they look like the mom or the dad? People always say, oh, you look like your parents. Can I just tell you, when you're born, you may look like your parents, but when you die, you look like your habits. Think about that. When you're born, you may look like your parents, but when you die, you look like your habits. You ever looked at somebody in a casket? Based on their shape, their weight, their story, they look like their habits. Now's the time to do something about it. Here's a question I have for you. Do you like the direction your habits are taking you? The habits that you have today and the habits that I have today will shape who we become tomorrow. And the question is do you like the direction that your habits are taking you? Do you like the trajectory that you're currently on spiritually, relationally, physically, financially? Do you? And if you don't, listen, it's time to change those habits, because intentions don't get you where you want to go. Your habits do. And if you don't like the direction that they're leading you, trust me, they're going to continue to take you somewhere in 5 years. And so if you don't like where they're going, change it. So today I want to talk to you specifically about you in 5 years. Because you know what? Some of you are like, holy cow, can it really be 2024? Like, I remember 5 years ago, right? And all of a sudden, here we are. It seems like a long time, but it doesn't seem like a long time. Trust me, 2029 is not that far. It's the same five-year span. So what are you going to do? Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. God's word to us, and this, God's word is living. It's active. It's relevant still for us today. And it's going to convict me, and it's probably going to convict you a little today. The Apostle Paul said this, do not be deceived. Everybody say, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. You know what he's really saying? Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. What I'm about to tell you is real. So don't be deceived. God is not, cannot be mocked. Don't be fooled. Don't be stupid. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Fact. So does a woman, by the way. So ladies, that's you too. Whoever sows to please their flesh, that's your sinful nature. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever though sows to please not the flesh, but to please the Spirit, God's way, will reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not become weary. Let us not become weary in doing good. Why? For at the proper time, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest, get this, if we do not give up. Paul says this is a law. There's a law of sowing and reaping. God can't be mocked. Don't be stupid. Don't be foolish. You're going to reap what you sow. That's true for every single one of us. We reap what we sow. You could say our life is a summation of your habits, right? So Paul wrote these very, very strong words, and you're like, wow, that's pretty strong. It is strong because he's wanting to get their attention and get ours. He says if you're sowing in the flesh, in other words, if you have habits that are fleshly, that are of your sinful nature, that's what you're going to reap. You're going to reap destruction. But if you let God's word drive you, if you let build your life around his principles, his laws, his way of doing things, because he's God and you're not, his ways work, listen, you'll reap what you sow. Do you like the direction that your habits are taking you right now? Today we're wrapping up this series that we've been in called Inside Out. Inside Out, because we've realized early on in this, in week one, that it's not about behavior modification. That's not where change happens. We've all tried that. We go right back to the old behaviors. That's why New Year's resolutions don't work. But it's an inside out job. It's a Spirit of God working inside in our heart. If your heart doesn't change, you'll go back to your behavior. So fill this in, real and last, or you don't have to fill it in. I already did that for you. I forgot about that. Real and lasting change isn't about behavior modification. It's about spiritual transformation. We learned that in week one. We also said, you know why you do what you do? You do what you do, this is still week one, is you because of what you think of you. You do what you do because of what you think of you. So we said we have to get his idea of who we are. We got to believe what he says we are instead of what we believed or what we believe that other people have said about us. You do what you do because of what you think of you. So if you want to change what you think of you, you got to go to the source, the creator of you, which is why we said we have to have a spiritual who. Who is it that God is calling you to be? Who is it that God created you to be? Because God didn't create any junk. And when you figure out who God created you to be, that you're one of a kind, unique masterpiece, that affects everything that you do when you understand who you are in his eyes. And then we said, once you have a spiritual who understood, you got to have a spiritual why. You see, I don't want to just get in better shape physically so I look good at the beach. I want to look better physically so I can honor and glorify God with this one life and one body that he's given me. Right? I want to be all that he wants me to be. And he lives in this body, and so I don't want to trash this body. He's given me finances so that I can honor and glorify him, not just have an easy life for myself and retire and die one day. There's a spiritual why as well. And then we looked at a spiritual what. Based on who you want to become and who God wants you to become, what's one habit that you need to start doing? Based on who you want to become one day, who you want to become in 5 years, what's one habit that you need to start to become more of who God wants you to be? And then we said, what's a spiritual what not? Based on what God wants you to become, based on what you want to become, what's one habit that you need to break? What's one habit you need to stop doing? It's not necessarily sinful. It's just not really helping you get to become who God wants you to become. Last week, we looked at a spiritual how. We said, you know how you really change? You don't change by trying. You change by... Nobody was here. One person. Training. Yeah, it's not about trying. It's about training. And there's a big, big difference between trying. I've tried to be more spiritual. I've tried to pray more, tried to read my Bible more, tried to be better financially, tried to be better physical shape. It's not about trying. It's about training. And there's a big, big difference between trying and training. This week, we're going to add the spiritual impact to drive the final message home because, listen, you're going to be somewhere in 5 years. And based on your current habits, that's a great indicator of where your life's going to be like in 5 years. And if you don't like where it's going, we got to change the habits. The habits you have today are going to shape who you're going to become tomorrow. We overestimate what we can do in a weekend. Would you agree with that? You ever said, we're going to paint the whole house this weekend? I doubt it. You forgot that you're going to run to Lowe's 18 times for things you thought you had, right? We overestimate what we can do in a weekend. We underestimate what can happen in a year. You certainly underestimate what could happen in 5 years. The habits you have today are going to shape who you become tomorrow. And in Galatians chapter 6, Paul is sharing laws. like laws, like they're established by God. Like you can't break God's law. You'll break yourself over the law, but you can't break the law. It's like the law of gravity, right? Like how many of you would understand the law of gravity, no matter how much we like it, we don't like it. If I jump off of this stage, guess which way I'm falling? Down. I couldn't jump off and fall up because I can't break the law of gravity. The law of gravity will break me. I can want and have good intentions all day and get on top of a 10-story building and jump and hope I don't hit the ground. I'm hitting the ground. It's a law that I can't break. These laws of sowing and reaping, we're going to look at three of them today. They're God's law. You can't break them. They're true whether you believe them or you don't believe them. And he wants to set us up to become all that he wants us to be. And if you don't like the trajectory of your life, then change it today so you'll be in a different place 5 years from now. Here's the first law, if you're taking notes, of sowing and reaping. You sow, you reap what you sow. Whether you agree or don't, that's a law. You reap what you sow. In other words, if you go out and you plant apple seeds, you're not getting a lemon tree. Right? Which we would all say, duh. But think about that. Let's look at these four areas: spiritually, relationally, financially, physically. We somehow think that good intentions, I know I planted apple seeds, but I sure wished I got a lemon tree. And then we act shocked. I haven't been to the gym in 28 years. But I'm going to look like that if I go this week. No, you're not. I'm going to have a great marriage because we want one. No, you won't. You reap what you sow. You plant godly habits. You'll get godly results and a godly outcome. You fulfill the flesh. You do what the world's doing. You're going to get what the world gets. Paul's saying, I want you to understand this. Look at what Hosea 10:13 says. But you have planted what? You've planted wickedness, so guess what? You reaped evil. You reap what you sow. If your habits are bad, you're going to get bad results. If you eat bad, you're going to eventually have bad results. You don't take care of your marriage, you're going to eventually have a marriage that's in the ditch or it falls apart. You go to work late every day, you have a bad attitude, you're fighting with everybody always at work. Listen, you're probably not getting promoted there. Why? You can go around, tell everybody else, try to convince them that you should have got the promotion. No, it doesn't work that way, right? You're not likely to be promoted because of your actions. Same with physically. You eat whatever you want, whenever you want, as much as you want. Drink a six-pack every other night. Have a couple six-packs on the weekend. You probably won't have a six-pack here, right? You'll have a keg here. Your six packs will add up to a keg. I'm just, yeah. It's the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. So if you want to reap what you sow, you're just gonna, right? Because that's a law. Fill this in. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Now that's a brilliant move, isn't it? Listen, if I'm planting apple seeds hoping to get a lemon tree and I don't want an apple tree, then I better plant some different seeds. If you don't like where your life is going, you got to change what you're sowing. If you don't like what you're reaping, you got to change what you're sowing. If you don't like where your relationships are, you got to do something different. If you don't like where your marriage is, you got to do something different. If you don't like where you are physically, you got to do something different. If you don't like where you are spiritually, you've got to do something different because your habits that you currently have are going to dictate where you're going to be 5 years from now. It's law number one of sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. Here's law number two. Not only do you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. God multiplies the seed. God multiplies it. That's his work. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 20. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produces a harvest of what? Notice this. Of 30, 60, even 100 times as much had been planted. God says, listen, when you take my word and you put it in you and you begin to live it out, I multiply that seed. If your heart is good soil, I will multiply it 30, 60, or 100 times over, and you'll reap much more than you ever sowed. You sow a lot of love, you get a lot of love. Does that all? Is that a guarantee 100%? No. But the percentages are stacked heavily in your advantage. Let me just tell you personally. When I love my wife the way God wants me to love her, when I honor her the way God wants me to honor her, then she's way loving back. Matter of fact, she multiplies that. She treats me better than I deserve to be treated. She multiplies it. But if I'm mean to her, if I'm ugly to her, she multiplies that. She gives me hell. She's up here laughing. I'm going to get some of that when I get home, probably for saying that. But now I know what some of you are thinking, because many of you know my wife, and you're saying, oh, that wouldn't be Debbie. She's so sweet. She is sweet until I'm not. Yeah. Let me illustrate it with a book that you may want to read. The book is called The Compound Effect. The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. And I recommend this book. Listen, if you've got high schoolers that are going to graduate soon, if you got high schoolers that just went to college, or you got some young college kids, you got some people, you got a son or a daughter that just recently married, you're a young adult, listen, get this book. I mean, it works for everybody, but boy, if you're in that, if you're a dad and your daughter's getting ready to get married, make her fiance read this book before he can have your daughter's hand. I'm just telling you, it's that good. And I love this because here's what he says. Well, let me, you can see it on your note sheets. Small, smart choices, Darren shares, plus consistency, plus time equals what? A radical difference. That's the compound effect. It's true every time. If you take small, smart choices, and you're consistent with those small choices, those habits, and you add time, it equals a radical difference. It's amazing remember we talked about that earlier in this series? We're going to start with one small habit that's going to get me to become more of what God wants me to become. If I will start stacking those small good habits over time, it's going to equal a radical difference. It's going to send me to the trajectory that I want to become who God wants me to become. And Darren, he tells a story of someone in there that he kind of gives two scenarios. You could take the same exact person, take you, take me, the same person, and put them in two different categories and get two completely different results. And the story that he tells that I really can relate to, and I think you'll relate to, it's around calories. And here's what he says. He says, take the same guy in two different scenarios, and we're going to take him first spiritually. He's very inconsistent in church. He's inconsistent in prayer. He's inconsistent in reading his word. He's got good intentions, but if you look at his habits spiritually, he's inconsistent. If you look at the second scenario, he's consistent. He's consistent spiritually. He's consistent praying. He's consistent reading his Bible. He doesn't miss church. Rarely he's there. He's in tune. He's taking the notes. He's applying it. He's built these habits. And you look fast forward 5 years. They're in completely different places. One is really on fire for God, really in tune with God, really following God. It shows up in every area of his life. He's doing life God's way. The other scenario is you've drifted. You've become more lukewarm. You just get further and further away from God because of habits. And then he tells this story. Same two guys. One guy, remember the guy that's inconsistent at church? His marriage starts to wane. His relationships, physically, he's not feeling as good. So he starts to medicate himself at night with a glass of wine. Then he's like, wow, that's pretty good. 125 calories for a glass of wine. And then he goes to the second glass of wine. Because if one's good, two's got to be better, right? And so he adds another glass of wine. Do you know what? This is interesting to me. This is very interesting to me. If you span that out over time, it's 117,000 more calories in 27 months than if you didn't have the glass of wine. You know what 117,000 calories over 27 months equals? It adds 33 pounds to you. The second scenario is the guy that's gotten closer says, you know what? I don't need those extra calories. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to have a glass of water at night. Fast forward that guy because you know what? It didn't make a difference 1 week. When the guy had the glass of wine and then two glasses of wine, it didn't even matter in a month. It didn't matter in 2 months, 3 months. It didn't matter. But over 27 months, 33 pounds. Over 33 months for the guy that got rid of the wine, listen, he lost 33 pounds. The value of habit over time, the compounding, these small habits plus consistency over time equals a drastic, radical change. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Especially for those of you that are calorie counters, you're like, well, how much is one bag of M&Ms? Just a little bag. No big deal in 1 day. But if you do it consistently over 27 months, you're changing your wardrobe. You're not changing something else. All right? So look at that. You apply that story spiritually, relationally, physically, financially. It goes somewhere. It goes somewhere. All of a sudden, spiritually, based on your trajectory, if worship's not a priority, prayer's not a priority, Bible study is not a priority, you drift. You're bombarded with so many messages from the world day in and day out that you just take on the world's thinking system. And it changes you. And it all started one little habit at a time, either being consistent or inconsistent with the things of God. It happens the same way physically. It happens the same way relationally. It happens the same way financially. It's just little habits stacked over time, whether they're getting us where we want to go or we don't think it's that big of a deal. Over time, it makes a big, big deal. So you reap what you sow. That's a law. You reap more than you sow. That's a law, good or bad. And number three, you reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. If you plant in the fall, you don't reap in the fall. If you plant in the fall, you don't reap till you turn around to spring, right? Because we don't reap what we sow in the same season that we sow it. So what does that mean? It means, remember he said, if you... at the proper time. You'll reap a harvest at the proper time if you don't give up. Some of us give up too quick. We talked about that earlier in the series. You're like, hey, I want to get in shape physically. We said, great. Did you make a New Year's resolution? Yeah, but by the second Friday of January, most of it are gone. Why? Because we're just trying to change our behavior. It's got to be a heart change. We got to have a spiritual why behind it and a spiritual who behind it. Right? It's got to be an inside-out job. God, you got to change my heart. And so, but we still give up too soon. We're quitters too early. You're like, man, I've been praying for so-and-so in my life, and I've prayed for 5 straight days, and nothing's changed. Prayer doesn't work. I went to the gym for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I only lost a pound. What's wrong with me? Not going back to that gym. I wanted to be in better shape financially. I looked at my credit card. If you're average, you owe about $15,000 on a credit card. And you said, you know what? I'm going to get in better shape financially, so I'm not going to get coffee this week. I'm not for the month. And you discipline yourself. You slip a couple times. At the end of the month, you saved $100. You said, good, Visa, here you go. And then you look, and you don't owe $15,000. You owe $14,900. You're like, huh, It's going to take way too long. Heck with this. We wrongly conclude that little decisions don't matter that much. Fill this in if you're taking notes. Our lives are the sum total of all the small decisions that we make. Our lives are the sum total of all the small decisions that we make. Based on every action that you're taking, every habit that you're establishing, you're choosing the direction that your life is going. So where do you want your life to be in 5 years? It's happening by the habits that you're doing today, the habits that you're going to start tomorrow or stop tomorrow. And if you stack those small habits over time and you're consistent with them, it's going to equal a radical change one way or the other. You'll either be more of what you really want or you're going to be what you didn't want. And you see, some of us, we look at that and say, oh, that makes sense. But we quit too easy, quit too quick. We look at other people and we say, oh, look how good a shape they're in. They make me sick. You went out to eat with them once. They ate the same thing you did. And you're like, ah, you don't have a clue what they're doing the rest of the time. You see somebody spiritually fit and you're like, I want to be like that. You have no idea that they're getting up every morning, they're making God's word a priority, that they're hiding God's word in their heart, that they're on their knees before they start their day. You have no idea how long they've done that to get where they're at. And you say, oh, it just must have been their bloodline. It's their family. Oh, they're born into that. No. You ever seen an Olympic athlete and you say, phew, but he eats just like I do. He just got it. Different metabolism. He was born with that body. No, they weren't. It's about habits. The way that you're living today is taking you somewhere. But here's the cool thing. You don't have to wait till 5 years. Fill this in if you're taking notes. We don't judge the success of the day by the harvest that we reap, but by the seeds that we sow. You get that? We don't judge the success of the day by the harvest that we see, or even the harvest that we're reaping, but we look at it based on the seeds that we're sowing. You see, no matter what seeds you plant today, it's not going to reap tomorrow. So you can't say, oh, I sowed a seed today. I went to the gym today. I didn't see the results that I want. But if you stay in there and you don't give up and you keep getting with that habit and you keep it a priority, in 5 years, you're going to be 33 pounds different with just 125 calories different a day. We'll reap a harvest at the proper time if we don't give up. Think about that spiritually. The ministry that you're a part of, serving here at Crossroads or not serving, it matters. What you're doing habitually with your finances, without a budget, with a budget, it matters. Whether you put God first or you see if you have any leftovers, it matters. You're a steward, you're not an owner, but you get to decide, am I going to do it my way or God's way? But if I want to become what God wants me to become, which is better, by the way, His way works and our ways don't, then you got to do the habits His way. Because make no mistake, the law of sowing and reaping, those laws, they're laws. You can't, the law cannot be broken. You'll break yourself on the law, but the law cannot be broken. Do not be deceived. Don't be stupid. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow, and you reap after you sow. Those are laws. So if you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Slow progress. Small habits over time. Do you know if you put a pan on the stove with water in it and you turn the burner on, and it goes from 40 or 50 degrees to 70 degrees, and you turn it up, and then you let it sit there, and then it goes to 80 degrees, then it goes to 100 degrees, then it goes to 120 degrees, goes to 150 degrees, 180 degrees, goes to 200 degrees, goes to 205 degrees, goes to 210 degrees, 211 degrees. You know what? You have hot water. But you know what happens from 211 to 212? It boils. 1 degree difference. From 211, it's hot, but to 212, it bubbles and it boils up. Listen, think about yourself that way, and you pick the area that we've talked about, but it's true in all the areas. It's small habits stacked together over time. You may not see a big difference between 80 degrees and 100 degrees, but if you stay on that trajectory, right, in 27 months, 33 pounds different, it adds up. It's taking you somewhere, and at one point, you're there, and you're kind of lukewarm with God. But spiritually, you're reading your Bible daily. You're worshiping as a priority. You're praying. You're hiding God's word in your heart. You're putting the right kind of friends around you, people that will pray behind your back and not talk about you behind your back. I want people around me that'll pray behind my back, not talk about me behind my back. Don't you? You can always find people that'll join in that. Both of them. Your marriage is going somewhere. You can have a marriage better than anybody that's ever had one in your family. Not because you're so different, because it matters what habits you're stacking together. We quit too early, don't we? Oh, I just need another partner. Some of you tried that 3 or 4 times. How's that working? The power of a habit. The power of stacking small habits consistently done over time equals a radical difference. The person that's there in a godly way and the person that's gotten lukewarm and slipped away, both got there the same way, by stacking habits over time. And you and I get to decide. And when we want the results that we want, that we've seen in other people, believe this. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by mistake. It happened the same way you got to where you got, by stacking habits. You get to decide which ones you stack. So I came to tell somebody, as we wrap this up, don't give up. Don't you dare give up. Don't quit planting. Don't quit sowing. Don't stop believing. Don't stop renewing your mind. Don't stop making worship a priority. Matter of fact, make it more of a priority. Make Bible reading more of a priority. Make your marriage more of a priority. You start stacking these one at a time. One day, you're going to look back and say, holy cow, how did it happen? And then it's going to dawn you, I know exactly how it happened. One habit at a time, consistently over time, got me here. But it's not about willpower. It's about spiritual transformation. It's an inside-out, God change my heart thing. You don't like the direction your habits are taking you? Change your habits. You don't like what you're reaping? Change what you're sowing. And don't give up, because you'll reap a harvest of what? Of righteousness, God says, if you don't give up. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for these laws, for the truth, for your love for us, that we understand, God, that we are where we are in many cases because of what we've sowed, the habits that we've sown over time. So God, I pray for everyone here. I pray, God, for every believer here, that they would understand the laws of sowing and reaping, and that they would understand the power of a small habit today, of starting one, of stopping one, the power of consistency, the power of time, that we don't give up too early, because over time, we don't reap in the same season. We reap later. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I just tell you this? Today's your day. Today's your day. It's an inside-out job. You do not have the ability to make all these changes. That's behavior modification. You've tried that. You need an inside-out job. You need Jesus living inside of you, who will place his spirit, the same spirit in you that lived in Jesus, that defeated death and rose from the dead, is available to you if you'll turn from doing life your way and by faith ask Jesus to come in and be your Lord and Savior. if that's you today, whether you're in this room or you're watching online, if you'll provide the sinner that you rightly are, because none of us are perfect, God provides a Savior. His name is Jesus. He's the one and only way to heaven. He will come in and take up residence in your life. He will give you eternal life the moment that you receive Him. And that's not just for later when you die. It's to give you the power you need to be the person He created you to be while you're still here on this earth. If that's you, just say, God, I admit I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. And my sin has separated me from You. But God, I believe You love me. You created me. You want a relationship with me, not a religion. You want a personal relationship. And so You sent Jesus to live and to die. He shed His blood to forgive me of my sins. He defeated death after being buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, He defeated the ultimate weapon of death so that I could defeat death. Oh, this physical body will die, but my soul will live forever with You. Not because I'm good, but because I'm going to receive You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. So right now, I invite You in. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse me from everything I've done wrong. Place Your Spirit within me, and from this day forward, I want to learn to love You like You love me. And I want to live the rest of my life on purpose to become the person You created me to be. And whenever I die, I'll spend eternity with You. Not because I'm good, but because I received You, who is perfect, as my Savior and Lord. And I say thanks. We give You all the praise in the name that's above all names, Your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen.